Hare Krishna. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 10, Verse 4. We just started the chapter yesterday. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Sarasvatim Vyasam Tatrojaya Mudiraye Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhakti Vinashtiti Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Hare Krishna. So this is chapter 10, verse 4 today. We'll do the word for word first. Sthiti. Sthiti. The right situation.
The right situation.
Vaikuntha Vijaya.
Vaikuntha Vijaya.
The victory of the Lord of Vaikuntha. Poshanam. Maintenance. Tat Anugraha. His causeless mercy. Manvantarani. The reign of the Manus. Saddharma.
Perfect occupational duty.
Uttaya.
Impetus to work.
Karma vasana,
karma vasana,
desire for fruitive work.
Sthitir
Vaikuntha Vijaya,
Poshanam
Tadanugraha,
Manvantarani
Saddharma,
Uttaya Karma
vasana. Sthitir
Vaikuntha Vijaya,
Poshanam
Tadanugraha,
Manvantarani Saddharma,
Uttaya Karma
Vasana. And purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Jagat Guru, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The translation. The right situation for the living entities is to obey the laws of the Lord and thus be in perfect peace of mind under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Manus and their laws are meant to give right direction in life. The impetus for activity is the desire for fruitful work. Maybe we can say it together. The translation. The right situation for the living entities is to obey the laws of the Lord and thus be in perfect peace of mind under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Manus and their laws are meant to give right direction in life. The impetus for activity is the desire for fruitive work. So this is a very long purport, in my humble opinion, because it's many, many paragraphs. So I'm going to kind of read and maybe comment as we go along. Otherwise, it will be a long purport, and then I'll have to go back again to the purport. So this chapter is actually entitled, Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. Very, very beautiful proclamation. Answer to all questions. And as we heard yesterday, this chapter is actually talking about the 10 subject matters of the Bhagavatam. And as Nagaraj Prabhu summarized, because the first verse talks, just mentions, and Prabhupada didn't give any purport, the 10 subject matters, and then in the third verse, the first two were discussed, sarga and visarga. And in today's verse, four of those subject matters are mentioned, and Prabhupada elaborates upon them a little bit in the purport. So I'm going to talk about them. When I went online to check, you know, just read up about the 10 subject matters, what is there in our, maybe I could hear a class about somebody giving a class on these 10 subject matters. So I came across a summary on the ISKCON Desire Tree site. So I printed that out. So as we are talking about each of the subject matters, I'm going to just go to the ISKCON Desire Tree publication and just read about it. So, starting with the purport. This material world is created, maintained for some time, and again annihilated by the will of the Lord. The ingredients for creation and the subordinate creator Brahma are first created by Lord Vishnu in his first and second incarnations. So that is the first subject matter of the Bhagavatam, which is Sarga. And as Raghuraj Prabhu touched upon it and talked about it, so we know that Krishna expands, the expansion is Mahavishnu, who actually is responsible for this primary creation in this material world. And so Prabhupada, actually it's mentioned now. The first incarnation is Mahavishnu, and the second Purusha incarnation is the Garbhodakshai Vishnu, from whom Brahma is created. So Garbhodakshai Vishnu enters into every planet, there's a Garbha ocean, and then Brahma comes off as the Brahma Samhita describes, from the stem of the lotus. Brahma is created, and he is the one who actually does the secondary creation, which is Visarga. The third Purusha avatar is the Kshirodakshai Vishnu, who lives as a super soul of everything in the universe and maintains the creation generated by Brahma. So Brahma, as we know, he underwent austerities for a very, very long time, and then Krishna actually inspired him, and he heard the word, he heard from the Krishna's lotus, from his flute, and inspired by the Lord, that's how he started creating the different bodies. He actually created many of his sons, who created many, many progenies further on. These bodies which are created by Brahma, they are activated actually by Kshirodakshai Vishnu, because he enters into every body as a super soul. And Shiva is one of the many sons of Brahma, and he annihilates the creation. Therefore, the original creator of the universe is Vishnu, and he is also the maintainer of the created beings by his causeless mercy. So yeah, those are called Prajapatis, all of the many, many sons of Brahma who were asked to create more progeny. So the Prajapatis, he creates those. That is Sarga and Visarga. Srila Prabhupada goes to it, so I'm kind of going there. And then the next part is, as such, it is the duty of all conditioned souls to acknowledge the victory of the Lord and thus become pure devotees and live peacefully in this world where miseries and dangers are always in existence. So this is where the third subject matter is mentioned now, which is Sthithir Vaikuntha Vijaya. So in yesterday's, when we were reading the translation from the first verse, Prabhupada translates sthiti or sthanam as the planetary systems. And here in today's verse, he says sthiti is the right situation and Vaikuntha Vijaya. So sthiti Vaikuntha Vijaya, the victory of the Lord of Vaikuntha, and that's the right situation. So the right situation for each of us living beings, our sthanam is the realm of Vaikuntha. That is a true situation of each living being. And I'll read from this write-up which I have, the entire creation by the Lord is to enable the conditioned souls to satisfy their material desire to lord over the material energy. So the Lord creates this material energy because he finds that many of these living entities, they want independence, as we know, and we want to, so to satisfy us, he's actually making this material creation. So as such, according to their desires, the Lord creates a suitable situation, sthanam, for them to dwell in. And Nagaraj Prabhu pointed out that sthanam, S-T, is like stationary, like the planets are stationary, static. So all of the words in the English language we start with S-T is actually like things which are stationary, which are not moving. So that's the sthanam, that's the place for us to dwell in. Within the universe, these situations can be divided into 14 main categories, technically known as bhuvanas or planetary systems. And we know that famous verse of Bhagavad Gita, Abrahma bhuvana loka punar avartina arjuna. Mam upetaya tu konteya punar janmana vidyate. So punar arvati means, punravati means coming again and again. We come again and again to these different planetary systems. And we are divided, it's like 8,400,000 categories, species of life, from the topmost sthanam, which is the Brahma Loka, down to the lowest sthanam, which is the Patal Loka. All of these situations are destructible places of misery, which is Dukhalayam Ashashvatam. They're all places of misery, which Prabhupada also mentions in his purport. And only by attaining to our eternal constitutional situation in the spiritual realm of Vaikuntha can we conquer the birth and death of this material world. Thus, the true sthanam of the living entity is the realm of Vaikuntha. All other temporary situations within the material world cause one to become a victim of material suffering, simply shifting from one situation to the next. So that's what the sthanam is, true situation of the living entity. And we have to recognize that, you know, the Lord is creating all these places for us because we want to be independent. However, the Lord is always giving us protection. And which is the other next subject matter, which is also mentioned in today's verse, Poshanam Tad Anugraha, maintenance, and that is His causeless mercy. So, I was reading somebody yesterday, the lowest form of you can say the poshanam which the Lord gives is like, you know, giving us facility to eat. Now that if you are an ant, you're given something to eat. If you are an elephant, you're given tons and tons of food or a grain of sugar. We all are given something, we are given. That is the Lord's protection to everyone. And as devotees, as somebody who's trying to aspire to be giving loving devotion to the Lord, He gives us protection that we can actually come back to Him, come back to His abode, which is not only in the Vaikunthas, but in the Goloka Vrindavan. So that's how the Lord has got, you know, when we say, you know, when I have four children and sometimes one of them will ask, so am I your favorite kid, you know? I'm your favorite son, right? And I'm like, well, all of you are my favorites. Because of course, that is a whole different class about, is the Lord favorable? Is He more favorite to the demigods or to the devotees? And is He unfavorable to the demons? Actually, the Lord's mercy is there for everybody. And if you take it, then you know you become more dear. So even though I will not tell my kids who's my favorite, but definitely there's one who's more favorite because they are more, they follow my directions, they reciprocate with me more. So then there is naturally more affection for that particular child, even though we try to love each of them in a similar way or in an identical way. So we have to recognize the protection of the Lord. And I'll again read from this little write-up. Protection is the causeless mercy of the Lord. It can be defined in two ways according to the mentality of the living entity. For the conditioned soul, poshanam refers to material maintenance, which is what we talked about. Just, you know, taking care of my material needs. It is the Lord who fulfills the desires of all living entities. Nityo nityanam, chetanas chetananam, eko bahunam yo vidadhati kamam. The supreme eternal among all eternals, the supremely conscious among all the conscious living entities, it is that supreme one among the many who fulfills the desires of all. So for the devotees, he is given causeless mercy and protection. And he also protects us from the illusion of Maya. Because Maya is there, and what did Srila Prabhupada say? That so many of us are so unfortunate. He would say, especially people born in India, we are so close, but we are with our back turned towards Krishna. So that's how we are in Maya. We are very, very close, but the illusion of Maya is there because we have turned our backs towards Krishna. We're very close, but away from Him. So the Lord actually is also another portion for us is that He gives the strength to us. He gives us strength to continue in the service of, in His service, to engage in His devotional service. Like some of us here have been practicing Krishna consciousness for 60 years maybe, 50 years, 60 years, 40 years, 30 years, 1 month, 9 months. There is our new bhakta, 9, 10 months. So, but every day we need to pray to the Supreme Lord, please give me strength. Because actually recently my spiritual master was visiting and there something came up. It was Lord Narsingadev's pastimes. And we were expressing how we feel that, you know, we should not pray to the Lord to give me this or give me that. Like even please give me the ability that that all of the obstacles in my bhakti goes away, or that all of the anarthas in my heart go away. So sometimes I feel that, you know, I'm asking, every day I'm coming in front of the deities and saying, please protect me, please take away these anarthas. But he said, my spiritual master said, yes, it's okay to ask Krishna. Pray to him, please take away these dirty things which are in my heart, or please protect me. So we can pray to our deities, we can pray to Lord Balaram, such a beautiful, beautiful appearance of Lord Balaram, which happened like 12 years ago, that please give me spiritual strength so I can be engaged in your service, birth after birth, wherever you want me to be, but give me spiritual strength. So the Lord is giving the strength, and He will like if we pray to Him to give us that strength. That way we can always remember Him and engage in His devotional service. So now, moving along, let me see if I have anything else for this. Oh yeah, that, you know, even Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, who are the, other than Vishnu, Brahma and Shiva are the two other, we call them the deities of this material world, they cannot give us ultimate protection. And the story of Vrikrasura came to my mind that he did a lot of austerities and penances, and he got benediction from Lord Shiva. He asked for a benediction. That please give me benediction that whoever's head I touch, that person will just die right away. So Lord Shiva said, okay, tathastu. He got the benediction, and guess what he did? What do you do? Bhakti Charles, do you know what he did? No? So what he did was he touched Lord Shiva's head. He wanted to touch the head of Lord Shiva. He said, hey, if he gets destroyed, I will get all his powers, you know? So he's chasing Lord Shiva all over, and Lord Shiva is running away from him, and finally he takes shelter of Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu actually protects Lord Shiva because he tricked Lord Vishnu, tricked Vrikrasura, and he said something about, you know, sometimes these things don't work, these benedictions don't work. How about you test it, put your hand on your head, I think it might not work. And Vrikrasura touched his head and he was gone. So yeah, so Lord Shiva also has to take shelter of Lord Vishnu. And Prabhupada says that there's anxieties in this material world. There's fear and anxieties. Those fear and anxieties are always there. And I remember many, many years ago I'd gone to London and was in Trafalgar Square. And there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pigeons there. And people are feeding them. People are feeding them whatever they sell. Actually, they sell them some bird feed. But those pigeons, even though they're being fed, they're constantly looking here and there. They're looking here and there because they're always in anxiety. Somebody's going to come and attack me. So that fear is there. So what is Krishna's giving us peace of mind? Each of us wants to live peacefully. But when we practice Krishna consciousness, that's what we call it the real peace formula, right? We chant Hare Krishna, we try to minimize our external needs. That is our peace formula. And that's what when we talk about one of these subject matters, Vaikuntha Vijaya, we actually acknowledge the victory of the Lord. We acknowledge that Param Vijayate, that is the victory that we, when we actually take to Krishna consciousness or follow the laws which are given by Krishna, we follow the Yuga Dharma, that is what we will give, that will give us real peace and happiness. And I'm Hindu, I'm Muslim, I'm Christian, those are not eternal religious principles. Like, for example, you can be a Christian and you can say follow that, you know, honor thy mother and father, or honor your neighbors, or thou shalt not kill. Or you can be a Jew and you can be following all the dietary laws, the kosher laws, or you could be following all the Sharia laws of Islam. But the thing is, we have to dig deeper and see what actually is the Yuga Dharma. What actually should I practice that will give me eternal peace and eternal happiness? So that is the Sankirtan Yajna. We do the Sankirtan Yajna. So where are we at? In the Bhagavad Gita, I think that's where we are at. The conditioned souls who take this material creation as a place for satisfaction of the senses and thus are illusioned by the external energy of Vishnu remain again to be subjected to the laws of material nature, creation and destruction. So now we are going to move to the next part. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said that beginning from the topmost planet of this universe down to the lowest planet, Patal Loka, which we just mentioned, 8:16, all are destructible, and the conditioned souls may travel in space either by good or bad work or by modern spacecraft, but they are sure to die everywhere, although the duration of life in different planets is different. The only means to attain eternal life is to go back home, back to Godhead, but there is no more rebirth as in the material planets. The conditioned souls, being unaware of this very simple fact because of forgetting the relationship with the Lord of Vaikuntha, try to plan out a permanent life in this material world. And as we know, we are always endeavoring to collect more and more, to accumulate as much as possible, because hoard many things so that, you know, on a rainy day it will come in handy. Recently, when I was reading this about permanent life in this material world, I was thinking about recently we had our students go on a field trip to a small theme park in Orlando, and most of the students were being driven by either teachers or the parent drivers. But one of the students said, "My uncle will drive me alone." Okay. And she said, "He's going to get a cabana there so that, you know, he can relax and I can relax there too. And we'll have an all-day pass to eat as much as we want. And maybe I'll allow one or two of my classmates to come in there." So I was thinking how they're feeling like they're going to be there for 4 or 5 hours, but they want this little permanent situation, like a cabana, so they can just, you know, we have this mentality to make ourselves as much comfortable as possible. And what did Srila Prabhupada say? He says, material world is not a place for a gentleman or a lady. So we don't want to be too comfortable here. Being illusioned by the external energy, they thus become engaged in various types of economic and religious development, forgetting that they are meant for going back home, back to Godhead. And actually this statement has been made by Prabhupada in the rest of the purport in different places, in different paragraphs. Prabhupada is saying that. And when I first read it, I'm like, wow, Prabhupada is mentioning this so many times. But when we actually read the first verse and we saw the translation, the Nirodha is actually translated as going back home, back to Godhead. And we had a little discussion about what Nirodha meant. Dissolution, or we are getting absorbed into the body of Mahavishnu, which is also going back to Godhead. But Prabhupada is mentioning this going back home, back to Godhead several times in the rest of the purport. This forgetfulness is so strong due to the influence of Maya that the conditioned souls do not at all want to go back to Godhead. By sense enjoyment, they become victims of birth and death repeatedly and thus spoil human lives, which are chances for going back to Vishnu. And a very good example of forgetfulness is Lord Indra. I don't remember who cursed him. If any of you remembers, please let me know. Please tell us, share with us, that he was cursed to become a pig, right? And he was in his pig body, and he had his little piglets, he had his pig wives, and then Lord Brahma comes and says, okay, let's take you out of here. And he's like, no, I have to take care of my little pig babies. And he was literally living in filth, but he didn't want to leave because he became so attached. Does anybody remember who cursed Lord Indra to become pig? All right, moving along. I don't remember either. But yeah, so he became so attached. We become attached to our family. We become attached to our children. We become attached to our acquirements, all our wealth, and we think, oh, if only I had this much more time. If only I had this much more time, I would have done so much. And we actually are seeing more and more. So many of our devotees are, you know, of course, birth, death, old age, and disease is going on a daily basis, minute by minute basis. But so many of our devotees here we have seen leave, and we see that their consciousness is so peaceful. They are in Krishna consciousness. Even if they are not around devotees, somehow Krishna arranges that some devotee will appear. Like in the most recent unfortunate accident which happened of our young 18-year-old Keshava, that devotees appeared on the scene and actually chanted. That just when I think about it gives me so much hope, that there is hope for me, that there will be somebody who will be appearing and chanting in my ear or chanting for me when I'm leaving my body. Because this child, this boy actually just was in an accident, and it so happened that somebody who saw this happen were two devotees who just jumped out and actually chanted to him as he was leaving his body right there on the side of the road. So Krishna is so kind, he doesn't forget our sadhana, doesn't forget whatever we do. So even if once we chant Hare Krishna, of course we understand that we can, there's eternal benefit to it. So we have to continue with the process. You know, it might seem like, you know, where am I at? Why, you know, I'm doing it for so many years. How come I've not become a pure devotee yet, right? Some of us might be thinking, how come I didn't become a pure devotee? And actually, a pure devotee never thinks he's a pure devotee, right? He thinks he's like worm and stool. So if you're thinking you're worm and stool, I think that's when we are advanced, right? Sincerely thinking, sincerely have this feeling that I'm not making advancement, but I have to continue. So that's our impetus. All right, going to the next part of the purport, which is going to the next subject matter, Manvantara. The directive scriptures made by the Manus in different ages and millenniums are called Sadharma, good guidance for the human beings who should take advantage of all the revealed scriptures for their own interest to make life's successful termination. Very interesting term. I had never heard of this term. Successful termination of your life. So Manvantara, as we know, is the changing of the Manus. So let me read what I have here. Manvantara Sadharma, that's from this verse. The reign of the Manus for establishing eternal religious principles. So as you know, Manus, or whatever Manus write, they're called Manu Samhitas. So Manu is the father of mankind, the progenitor, empowered to guide the human race towards self-realization. Manu provides revealed scriptures to mankind, which regulate their activities in a manner that will be for their eternal welfare. When the living entities accept such a regulated path, the Lord provides them with all poshanam, protection, by which they may attain their constitutional situation in Vaikuntha. Thus, the desire to go back to Godhead and regulated activities performed to achieve that goal form the proper path of action. So all of these subject matters are kind of intertwined and presented in this particular statement. So the Manvantara, many learned devotees here, would somebody like to give us an insight into the Manvantaras. What is the duration of a Manvantara? Then you would like to share about Manvantaras. Would like to share what is the, how much, like, you know, somebody who is a mathematical mind, duration of a Manvantara. Would you like to share, Prabhuji?
One day of Brahma has four, ruled by 14 Manus. Each Manu has a 71 Chatur Juga, four Jugas, Satta, Treta, Dapar, Kali. This makes one Chatur.
So, there are four demons, you said?
Four millennium, or
millennium.
You can say.
Unlike demons.
Satta, Treta, Dapar, Kali. These four together called Chatur Yuga. 71 Chatur Yuga is the lifespan of one Manu. And 14 Manus makes one day of Brahma.
Hari Bol. And then 14 Manus in the night of Brahma too, right?
No.
Because there are two Kalpas.
There's no Manu in night of Brahma.
Oh, there's no Manus in the night.
There's a conversation between the Lord and Brahma while he's resting. He's not going in tamagun like I do.
Okay, so there's only 14 Manus during the day of Brahma.
Yeah.
And that is Brahma's day only. And during Brahma's night, there's a dissolution.
But night time Rasalila took place. That's also recorded. Mm-hmm. But not in the same realm. It's a different level.
Thank you, Prabhuji. That was very, very... Thank you. I'll just tell you the number of years which are there. So yeah, 71 Chatur Yuga cycles. So each Yuga, or each Chatur Yuga, which means Kali, Dwapar, Treta and Satya Yuga, is 4.3 million years, and Brahma lives for 100 of those years, which is, so one day of, so Brahma lives for a total of 300 trillion, 40 billion earth years. Yeah, so one day of Brahma is, so there's 71.
What does that mean?
It means it's a lot of. It's a big number, but the 71 Chatur Yuga cycles, which you told us, was very nice, because then the Manu is living, he lives for such a long period of time, and he, whatever that, so our current Manu is Vaivasvata Manu, right? So all of the teaching which he has given us in the Manu Samhita, those are the ones which we need to follow. And what Srila Prabhupada says is that we should take advantage of all those scriptures to make our lives successful termination. And what is successful termination? That we do not go into the cycle of birth and death. We actually get out of this and what go beyond birth and death, which is go back home or to Godhead. So again, Prabhupada, without saying going back home, back to Godhead, he's calling it successful termination.
Successful termination.
Termination. Yes. Yeah. Prabhuji, can you go move up? Do we see that? Successful. We should take advantage of all the revealed scriptures to make life's successful termination. So then Prabhupada goes on to say, this creation is not false, but it is a temporary manifestation just to give a chance for the conditioned souls to go back to Godhead. The desire to go back to Godhead and functions performed in the direction form the right path of work. This is coming to the next subject, Utaya, which is translated as impetus to work. So the desire to go back to Godhead and functions performed in the direction form the right path of work. When such a regulative path is accepted, the Lord gives all protection, poshana, to his devotees by his causeless mercy, while the non-devotees risk their own activities to bind themselves in a chain of fruitive actions. So the actions which will keep us in this samsara of repeated birth and death. So Utaya, so this is where Utaya Karma Vasana comes in. Utaya Karma Vasana is actually translated as impetus to work and the desire for fruitive work. So it is defined as follows. The conditioned soul forgets that the Lord is its eternal protector and maintainer, and thus an impetus for fruitive activity is manifested for one's self-maintenance. So we all have this desire, you know, we need, because we need to do some work to maintain ourselves. And as we know in the very famous verse of Bhagavad Gita, karma neva adhikaristu, we want to do our prescribed duty, but we don't want to be attached to the fruits of this result. results of the activity. However, this desire for fruitive activity is what is driving force behind all of the work in this material world. And that's how we accumulate what is called the karma vasana, the desire for fruitive work. The karma vasanas are the accumulated residue of one's previous activity. Every material activity we perform creates a residual impression within our consciousness, which is carried with us life after life. The sum total of these impressions form our creative impetus to work, utaya. And then the true impetus of the living entity should be to go back home to Godhead. And activities performed in that direction form the right path of work. So that's what it is. So the Bhagavatam actually talks about all of this as we go along. How our karma vasanas, we need to dovetail those karma vasanas, dovetail those desires, so we can do so many activities we can do, but we can do for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. And that's how we can be in this material world, but not be of this material world. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, such a fine example of Yukta Vairagya, doing whatever we are doing, but we do it in the service of the Supreme Lord. So actually today's society, as one of my, I'm reading my notes, today's society is mostly based on passion and ignorance, because we are, and if you see any of the ads or any of the shows which are showing, only feeding those the two natures of passion and ignorance. So we need to get away from that, of course, not only goodness, but transcendental goodness. We want to go beyond goodness as well. And one of the verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, I came across this verse and I thought I'll read about it, about the material desires. This is from Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 3, verses 6, 7, and 18, 19. So this is discussion between King Nimi and the Navayogendras. Impelled by deep-rooted material desires, the embodied living entity engages his active sense organs in fruitive activities. He then experiences the results of his material actions by wandering throughout this world in so-called happiness and distress. Thus, the conditioned living entity is forced to experience repeated birth and death. Impelled by the reactions of his own activities, he helplessly wanders from one inauspicious situation to other, suffering from the moment of creation until the time of cosmic annihilation. So this is directly quoted from, this is the two Bhagavatam verses 11, 3, 6, and 7. So we are getting entangled more and more in this web of karma. And text 18 on the same chapter says, thus they constantly make material endeavors to eliminate their unhappiness and unlimitedly increase their pleasure. But one should see that they inevitably achieve exactly the opposite result. In other words, their happiness inevitably vanishes, and as they grow older, their material discomfort increases. And more we are also experiencing that. Material discomfort increases. And when we are not practicing Krishna consciousness, then we look to other activities. Okay, I'm going to play golf. They go and move into a big golf community. Actually, recently we went for a book distribution in St. Augustine, and it was in a golf community. It was in the Hall of Fame, Golf Hall of Fame. And didn't really have many people coming there, because people were only interested in playing golf, but I'm not sure why they made our site over there. But it was so expansive, humongous place, full of golf, what are they called? Golf courses, and so much money and expenses spent in all these endeavors, so that people, when they retire, because they have nothing, they don't have that mindset that what is the goal of my life? So they feel, now that I'm retired, I can spend all day playing golf. And retired in Florida, live in a sunshine state, and play golf. So that is unfortunate. And more material discomfort increases, we actually become more and more cranky, and then we become more and more, we actually feel, why is God giving me so much? If anybody has a little bit of, you know, they're going to church maybe on Christmas and maybe Easter, then they say, why is God giving me so much trouble? You know, they don't see that the mercy of the Lord and what are the different things they got in their life, they start complaining and actually accusing the Lord of all of their misfortunes as they're coming upon them. And the next verse in the Bhagavatam text 19 of this chapter says, wealth is a perpetual source of distress. It is most difficult to acquire and it is virtual death for the soul. This is wealth. Because you know, when we have wealth, actually we become more fearful. As you get more wealth, you are afraid somebody will come and steal the wealth, right? And so it's actually virtual death for the soul, according to the Bhagavatam. What satisfaction does one actually gain from his wealth? Similarly, how can one gain ultimate or permanent happiness from one's so-called home, children, relatives, and domestic animals, which are all maintained by one's hard-earned money? So, what is the solution? So the goal is to get free of material desires. Anya bilashita shunyam, jnana karma anavritam. And the solution is isha vasyam idam sarvam. Use everything in service of the Lord for satisfaction of Krishna and his devotees. So the goal is to give and not to get. And we have talked about this before. When we give Krishna, we get Krishna. So the more we give, the more we get. So we give Krishna to others and not for our own selves, but we give Krishna to others so that their life becomes sublime. So coming to the last part of this purport, the word sad dharma, which means perfect occupational duty. Word sad dharma is significant in this connection. Sad dharma, or duty performed for going back to Godhead and thus becoming his unalloyed devotee, is the only pious activity. All others may pretend to be pious, but actually they are not. And actually we see, when we go for book distribution, we see people, we meet people. And recently we've been seeing a lot of people like this who say they are practicing some kind of yoga. And then you say, oh, what kind of yoga do you practice? Like, I'm not sure. I follow this app. And recently somebody told me they follow an app called Headspace. Like, oh, okay, great. So what do you do in that? I don't know. I just close my eyes and whatever they say, I do. So the thing is, we are also being hoodwinked by bogus, when Prabhupada says bogus yogis, bogus bhogis, we are actually getting sidetracked. So we have to beware of that, because we have to actually follow one of the sampradayas. One of the sampradayas, we have to go into one of the sampradayas, because you know, you can say, I read books on medicine, I read for 5 years, I'm now confident I can treat any patient, and I'm going to go out and set up shop and see patients. Do you think that will be allowed by the state? No, the state will say, no, you're not certified. You have to be certified to go to the college, go to medical college, then you can become a certified doctor or a surgeon. So similarly, we need to go into one of the universities, the Shri University, the Brahma University, the Rudra University, or the Kumara University. We have to be, connected to one. We have to be plugged into one of the sampradayas. And we know this verse, sampradaya vihina ye mantraste nishvala mataha. We have to receive the mantras from one of these bona fide sampradayas. And our sampradaya is the Brahma Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradaya. I'm just speaking to the new devotees, if they don't know that. Brahma sampradaya. So we have to be receive the mantra from one of these bona fide sampradayas. Otherwise, you will never be successful in spiritual life. That's the quote from the Bhagavatam. You will never be successful in the spiritual life. It is for this reason, so coming back to the purport, it's for this reason only that the Lord advises in the Bhagavad Gita that one give up so-called religious activities and completely engage in devotional service of the Lord to become free from all anxieties due to the dangerous life of material existence. This verse is the famous Sarv Dharma Parityaja Mamikam Sharanam Vaja. So to the last paragraph of this purport, to work situated in Sad Dharma is the right direction of life. One's aim of life should be to go back home, back to Godhead, and not be subjected to repeated births and deaths in the material world by getting good or bad bodies for temporary existence. Herein lies the intelligence of human life and one should desire the activities of life in that way. So that's the end of the purport, that we, our aim should be to go back to Godhead. So actually, as practicing sadhakas, bhaktas, we need to inspect ourselves or have self-inquiry. Where am I at? Maybe once a day, maybe every Ekadashi, maybe once a year, every Kartik. Where am I at? Where was I last Ekadashi? How am I doing? How am I making progress? Because my path, I have to keep my goal in mind, is going back home, back to Godhead. So we cannot get, we should not get distracted from that path. Things might come in our way, however, we need to realign ourselves. We need to realign so that we can come back and say, okay, I want to be focused. I want to keep my focus. I got out of focus, which is all right. You know, sometimes it happens. But Prabhupada is like, you know, what do you can say? He's pounding down, back home, back to God. Back home, back to God. That's where we have to be. That's where our we have to keep our eyes, eyes on the prize. Like they say, eyes on the prize. That's the eyes on the prize, that we want to be with Krishna. So I want to finish with this very, very nice verse from the Bhagavad Gita, which Prabhupada actually calls the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Does anybody know what verse, what that verse Prabhupada says is the essence of Bhagavad Gita? Prabhuji, which verse is that? You know? Oh, sorry, up there. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, you took out the thunder. Okay, yeah, so it's 11:55. I wanted to just finish with this because this is such a beautiful verse. This is from chapter 11, which is a universal form. And Krishna is showing his universal form to Arjuna. And Arjuna is all, he sees everything and then he gets so distressed. He's very, very, he's very afraid actually. And then he prays to Krishna that please, please show me your original two-armed form. So Krishna goes, he shows him his four-armed form. Then he showed him his two-armed form. And then he says this beautiful verse. Matkarma, you can all say it together if you'd like. Matkarma kit matparamo matbhakta sangavarjita nirvaira sarvabhuteshu yasamameti pandava. So those at home, this is chapter 11, verse 55. The last verse of chapter 11. Matkarma krit. Engage. So there is, this is actually five things which Krishna says which we need to do, and we need to actually examine ourselves. We can do it on a daily basis. Am I doing these five things? Engage in doing my work, mat karma krit. And when we are doing Krishna's work, we have to see, like, you know, we are chanting japa. So if I ask you today, why are you chanting japa? Maybe we'll take a quick poll. Why are you chanting japa? Who would like to say, why am I chanting japa? Prabhuji Ramanya. To follow Prabhupada's instructions. Somebody else? Yes, Prabhuji?
I made a promise to Prabhupada.
You made a promise to Srila Prabhupada. So I made a promise to my guru and I want to follow that. Anything? Anybody else? Yes, Prabhuji?
To develop
a relationship with Krishna. That's why I'm going to chant. Yes, Mother Agatmika? To associate with Krishna. Beautiful. So we are chanting japa ultimately, yes, to form a relationship with Krishna, to please Krishna. Mat karma kis, Krishna says, my work, do my work. So yeah, we are chanting, we might say, oh, if you know, like in the Christian traditions, if you don't do, you go to hell. So if I don't chant, I'll be displeasing Prabhupada, right? So, but our mood can be in a positive, I want to please Krishna, I want to please Srila Prabhupada, I want to please my guru. When I'm doing deity worship, am I pleasing? Sometimes we find ourselves in such a mood that we go and we are doing the deity worship, but our heart is not in it. We are not pleasing the Lord. We want to do that worship which is pleasing to Him. We are cleaning. Is this pleasing? My mood is I want to please Krishna, because I'm cleaning his house, I'm cleaning his temple, I'm cleaning his veranda. This example I heard in this class, I heard from Amarendra Prabhu, that you are a driver for Uber, huh? How can you be thinking, mat karma krit, I'm doing my work for Krishna, when you're driving an Uber? Huh? You are actually, one first thing is, of course, I need work, I need some money for my maintenance, so I'm getting this money. But every person who comes into your car, he says you see them as a pure devotee. Because they are pure devotees, they might not realize it yet, but they're all pure devotees, so I'm driving this pure devotee from this point to this point. And then he said that, you know, this person might be, in 500 births from today, might actually be my spiritual master. So I'm doing that service that I'm actually driving them from here to there. So everyone who comes into my car is actually, I have to see it in that way. That's how we can become mat karma krit. So I really like that example. We become mat karma krit. And Krishna says that, actually I just read the whole translation. My dear Arjuna, he who engages in my pure devotional service, free from the contamination of fruitive activities and mental speculation, he who works for me, who makes me the supreme goal of his life, and who is friendly to every living being, he certainly comes to me. That means comes back to Godhead. So mat karma krit, mat parma, mat bhakta, and the two side effects are sangha varjita, get rid of your association, bad association, also the desire for mental speculation, and nirvaira, don't have any enemies. Everybody is dear to them. Everybody is dear to somebody who is doing these five things. And so we have to make Krishna our priority. I'll end with this last analogy, that we can take our whole day as a suitcase. So if you have to go somewhere on a trip and you have to pack your stuff, you've got big things, you've got small things. So what would you pack first? Would you pack the big items or would you pack the small items in your suitcase? The big ones, right? So you pack the big ones, and when you pack the big ones, the small ones can kind of fit in between, correct? So similarly, we can take our 24 hour of the day as a big suitcase, and we put in the big rocks first. The big rocks would be chanting our japa, doing our deity worship, or attending the morning program, reading the shastras. Those are our big rocks. And now the small pebbles, what's a small pebble? My material activities, my activities, my worldly activities, those are the small pebbles. I will put them in between because I have to do my big activities first, my big rocks first. Otherwise the suitcase will be full, but I fill it up with small things and then the big things cannot fit in. So I'm sure each one of us has had this experience of, it's 9 o'clock at night and I have to still chant maybe 7 rounds, 8 rounds. And what will those rounds be? We will be so inattentive, we'll be thinking about the next day, we have to take rest, we are tired. So we need to make Krishna the priority. Put those big rocks first and then we can, you know, all the other activities actually fall into place when we actually do our we take care of the big rocks. We prioritize Krishna. So we say to Krishna, you are my priority. And also as far as reading shastras, at least if not for 5 hours, at least for 1 hour. And now with the help of Zoom, we can actually make a reading buddy, 2 or 3 reading buddies. And we are kind of committed. We read with them at least at least an hour daily, if not more. That way we are connected to Srila Prabhupada's words. You know, we're connected to the scriptures, we're connected to the philosophy, and then we can keep on examining ourselves. So yeah, I will speak forever, so I want to stop now. Sthitir Vaikuntha Vijaya Poshanam Tad Anugraha Man Mantarani Sad Dharma Utaya Karma Vasana. Hare Krishna. If you have any questions or comments, corrections, please. Or anybody online would like to say something? What did say? Somebody said Brihaspati, Guru of the Demigods. Oh, I'm not sure, I can't see that. Oh, did you see that? Somebody says Brihaspati, Guru of the Demigods. Where is that from? Mother Leela Padma says that. Oh, he cursed Indra. Oh, thank you, Mother Leela Padma. Brihaspati, Guru of the Demigods, he's the one who cursed Indra. Okay. That was that. Hare Krishna? Brihaspati. Yeah, he's the Guru of the Demigods. Oh, I think he disrespected Brihaspati. I think he didn't stand up when Brihaspati came into the assembly, something like that. Maybe something like that happened. All right. Okay. Thank you very much. All goes to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.